Greg, thanks very much. Backstage with Natalie Stutzman. And it's great to welcome you back to Philadelphia, Natalie Stutzman.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure for me.
Your first visit was what? Handel's Messiah, I think it was?
Yes, exactly. And it was such a wonderful matching with the orchestra. And now we have several projects, so I'm more than happy.
From what I've been hearing from the Philadelphians, they're glad you're here. So the thing with Beethoven with me is he's always sort of a work in progress. Everything that he does, you know, he's trying something new. He's pushing envelopes, as we like to say here in the United States. And when we get into the Fourth Symphony, we see more of the same. And you're about to go out and conduct that.
Yeah, well, it's one of the trickiest one, but you know, it's very interesting. And Beethoven, I think you need to read what he was writing himself about his music. I mean, he said, for example, he said many times, okay, I give you an indication for the tempo at the beginning, but it's just for the beginning. And I think it's very crucial in the work we do. And it's wonderful to have this compact program just around his music, because we can improve a lot the quality of the compact sound you need. But in the meantime, we work a lot on the flexibility. And the Fourth Symphony is very interesting, because I think it's the first time he used the first chord of this tonality, this si bemol minor. He never used it in any other work, not even in the piano sonatas. So he was trying to surprise us. And then he starts with a magic chord and a completely mysterious start, like you don't know, you are in the dark and you don't know where to go. You are lost, completely lost in transition.
Yeah. It's sometimes forgotten that Beethoven had a sense of humor. You see these...
A lot, like Haydn. They were funny guys, very basic ones. And one of the favorite joke of Beethoven was to put himself just behind the door and just do boo to surprise people coming and just, oh my God. Yeah. And it's full of this in his music. You have those fortissimo subito, which is this boo joke. For example, they're like a child.
Yeah, it's always been curious to me that this is the least played of the nine. Now, I know one symphony has to be the least of the nine, but why the fourth? It's so full of great things.
Honestly, you need a top orchestra. I mean, otherwise, it sounds really bad. Some part of it are almost unplayable, and it needs a lot of fantasy, and I think it needs to have this humor and not to take yourself too seriously. And this is not so easy.
Yeah. There are spots throughout that symphony. I played it a few times myself. I'm the double bass player. So it's that last coda, that having to play that run pianissimo, and it doesn't really lay that well on the bass. Try to do it.
Sure. No, but it's plenty of details where it's very challenging for everyone. Probably the reason why it's not played as often as the others.
Yeah, and yet there are some innovations and there are some continuations of the experiments. The cello and bass line are getting more and more separate over time, but he throws a curve at the principal horn in the second movement with that high E flat.
I mean, almost impossible to play. The instrument doesn't have it. So you really have to find a way to play it. And the scherzo, for example, which is a Menuetto is usually a slow dance, but then he writes molto allegro. I mean, for a slow dance. So it's changed completely. It's so original.
Oh, he moves away in that third movement from the three part and goes to five. I think that was the first time for that.
Exactly, first time, absolutely.
This is a guy who wrote early on that he was really not satisfied with what he was writing, and with the Eroica and with the piano sonatas, everything started to change.
Yeah, well, he was a true perfectionist. And if you see how many drafts, I mean, even later, the Fifth Symphony, I think he wrote about 15 different starts before he found this pop, 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 you know, the famous one, which became world famous. So he was someone who was always searching and always thinking he can do better.
Yeah, and I think he proved it. I think he proved it, and we're still, to this day, analyzing things that he does. And I imagine 20 years from now, they'll still be analyzing what he does.
Sure, and it's you know, his music requires an endless energy from everyone. I mean, you can't play anything else than 100% yourself if you want to really serve his music. And therefore, it's always a challenge, but a joy for everyone, every artist, to play his music, I think.
Now, you're juggling a vocal career and a conducting career. I have no idea how you do it. I suppose that's what managers are for. But it seems like the ultimate multitasking, to be able to sing, conduct, and record, do all of that. It's just amazing.
Oh, well, I don't know how I do myself, because sometimes I think I'm mad. But, you know, it's nice to keep the contact with the instrument. And it's relaxing sometimes to just sing myself instead of trying to explain what I have in my brain and my heart. I am at the moment where I enjoy to sing with a lot of relaxation, because I don't have, I faced all problems, technical problems don't really exist anymore. I also achieved so many things and so many dreams with my singing that I can do exactly just what I love to do. So, which is sing what I like and play with people I love in the places I love. And as a conductor, of course, my career has rising so quickly and so marvelously that I must give a priority now. It's time for me. But I keep the instrument. And, you know, I have, it's nice sometimes to keep music, chamber music projects, like with Kristiansand with my orchestra. Next year we do a long Schubert week. I will conduct a lot of Schubert, but I will also sing some Lieder that I arrange for voice and string quartet with my main principal players. And that gives us a wonderful relation.
Yeah, and it really, it keeps the music fresh. It keeps you reanalyzing what you're doing. You are enjoying an amazing career, and I like to make predictions, and usually I'm wrong, but I don't think I am this time. Within 10 years, I think there's going to be a woman in charge of one of the big five orchestras. I think it's going to happen.
Well, thank you so much. It would be a dream for me.
Yeah, there are plenty of orchestras out there that would be glad to have you, I'm sure. Well, we're going to let you get back out there for Beethoven's Fourth Symphony, and I'm going to be right out there listening. I'm looking forward to this. So thanks for taking a few minutes.
Thank you so much. Hope you enjoy.
All right, I plan to. Greg, back to you in the WRTI broadcast booth.